So what we're going to do is we're going to start searing these scallops. And then I got another surprise for you. I got a little cream right here.
All right. Welcome back to My Life as a Foodie. I'm really sorry for the delay since the first episode. I had a lot going on, but we're back on track now. And we should be doing more often. I want to thank all of you out there for your feedback on the first show. I know it was nothing special. I wanted to thank you for hanging in there. I appreciate everybody who sent email and stuff and those that commented on the blog. I appreciate the support. I decided today that we're actually going to cook something. And I figured, you know, why not, right? It's a food show, so let's cook some food. I'm going to share my grandmother's recipe for suku, which is Sicilian for sauce. Suku comes from a Greek word for sauce, and the Greeks invaded Sicily a couple of times, actually. Poor bastards. It's a basic tomato sauce for pasta, and it's flavored with meat. And we'll be making some of her meatballs to go along with that. And seriously, you have not lived until you have one of my grandmother's balls in your mouth. It's a no-brainer recipe, and you'll make a lot of friends with this. Whenever I don't know what I want or what I want to make, I usually end up making this. You know, they say when you don't know what you want to eat, that's when you order chicken, right? It's usually, if you don't know what you want on the menu, I'll just have chicken. With me, it's this. Anyway, we'll get into that later. I even made a shopping list for you because I'm, you know, I'm just a good guy like that. So how you like me now? Before we get into anything, my wife and I went to Farmer's Market this morning, and we've been planning on going for a while. They just started doing this in Buena Park a few years ago, I think. We didn't know about it. They have one here in Fullerton, where I'm located. Buena Park is, you know, about 8 miles away, but it's much larger. The one in Fullerton's, you know, pretty small, but this one's much larger. And we thought it was going to have a lot of local farmers there selling their goods, but turned out a lot of them were from, like, Bakersfield and, you know, a lot of places in about 300 miles north of here. But Bakersfield is where a lot of our produce here in California is grown because it's just a perfect climate. They grow, you know, everything out there, including, you know, grapes and almonds and pistachios, tons of stuff. So we went and I recorded it. Audio is not great, but it's there. I think it's the equivalent of walking the outside aisles of a grocery store. The outside aisles is where, you know, you're going to get vegetables, meat, and dairy. There's not a whole lot of processed food on those outside aisles. Oh, and again, there's beer and wine, and that's important. That's how I shop. So that's kind of how I thought this was, because, man, it was like, you know, it was like being in the outside aisles the whole time. And there were tons of vendors selling stuff. Man, I didn't even think I'd see loads of, like, vines and stuff that look like weeds. And they'll eat this stuff. I mean, they're all green. It's all good. Tons of vitamins. There were, like, bok choy and other kinds of choy, and it was kind of educational. I bought a few things, talked to some of the vendors. We bought some eggs from a farmer. It's in the audio. So give it a listen. I'll try to keep it short, and then we'll get back. Also, I put a slideshow of some of the stuff from the farmer's market on the website. So take a look at that. And also, there's a link to farmersmarket.com. You go there, and it's got a list of all the farmer's markets in the United States. And it's always growing, so take a look. You might have one near you. It's great. You're cutting out the middleman. You're buying it right from the farm. You don't have to go to the market and pay the market. So, you know, you go right and you buy it right from the farmers. And it's fresh, and a lot of it's organic. Listen, and then we'll get back to this.
So, we're at the farmer's market. This is kind of like shopping one big outside aisle at the grocery store.
Okay. Should we get up there?
Strawberries?
Yeah.
Whatever you want. I mean, the other ones looked a little bigger. So they have these markets everywhere throughout the United States, don't they? You can get pretty much any produce here. They've got beets and all sorts of root vegetables, cantaloupe. We're in California. They've got a lot of strawberries, loads of grapes, fruit. I was giving stuff away. You got heirloom tomatoes over here. You see these? These heirlooms?
I did, but you can't have that stuff there.
You can tell heirloom tomatoes are kind of, they just look they look weird. You know why? Because these things have reseeded themselves. They're not like freshly planted vines or anything. They just reseed themselves and they start to mutate. The flavor's better. Oh, we'll get some fresh eggs? Sure. Let's get a dozen eggs.
A
dozen eggs? You guys own the chickens that laid these eggs? Nice. Where's your farm at?
Arvin,
California.
Arvin?
Arvin. Arvin, where is that?
Like a few minutes from Bakersfield.
Okay. Wow, you drove them all the way out here? That's dedication to your craft. How big's your farm?
80 acres.
80 acres? Nice.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, we've secured some eggs. We got honey here. Holy crap, there's music. American Idol is just ruining this country. Let's ask what these are. Oh, I'm going to get some of these peppers. Hey, what are these, squash? Hey, is there eggplant? What kind? A Thai eggplant? Let's get a couple of these.
Okay.
I want to try these. Okay. Stir fry too?
Yeah. Stir fry, onions, and
does it taste like a Chinese eggplant or Japanese eggplant?
A little bit different.
A little bit different?
I like these better.
Do you? What's the difference in the taste then? Is it sweeter?
The taste? Awesome. Thank you. Let's crack a little bit of that. Whoa! What did I do? Here we go.
Got it.
Here we go. How's it taste?
Oh, that's very good.
It's a raw, not good. It's a raw.
No. Yeah, that's great.
Not so bitter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Let me get some of these peppers, too. Get a bag of peppers. Spice your life up.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Huh? Pull this and this. Mix together.
Mix together?
Long beans?
Great. Get some long beans, yeah.
Yeah. You put in the soup, you put a little bit cheese. And a little bit
of
this and
a long bean
together.
Nice. That eggplant kind of has its own spicy flavor. It's a little bit peppery in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, do you grow all this stuff yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you grow it?
Fresno. Yeah, very far.
And you drove it all the way down here?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's dedication.
Very hard.
Is this a form of eggplant as well?
No, this is all for squat, like a zucchini, but different kind.
Oh, okay.
But this, you have to peel the skin, so you put in the soup, very good. It's still frying good.
Okay, great.
And you can steam it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Steam it.
Wow, that's great.
Okay, I think we got it.
Okay, we're good, so let's hook us up. How big is your farm?
Oh, 10 acres.
10 acres? You
yeah.
grew all this on 10 acres?
Yeah.
Do you want any
bok choy? No, I'm good.
$3.50.
That's all?
Yeah.
I got it.
Wow. Here, I got it. There you go.
Yeah.
You can keep the change on that.
Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. See you next week.
Okay. Wow, how great. That was pretty good raw.
Yeah, it was.
There's some interesting fruit here. These things are called pluots. They're a hybrid of an apricot and a plum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then what are these things?
Green
pluots?
Yes.
These are green plums?
Yes. Green plum meets apricot. Red plum meets apricot.
Look at the size of these avocados. These are reed avocados?
Yeah, reed avocados.
Do they naturally just grow this big? Reed?
Reed.
Reed? What's the
flavor
of these? Is it different from a Haas or a...
Fuerte.
Haas is very creamy.
It's very clean?
Yeah, very creamy.
Creamy, I see. Yeah, I'll taste this.
Oh, wow.
Wow, that is...
Summertime, best time.
Yep. Okay, we're sold. We'll take one of these.
Put in the brown bag 2 days after life.
Okay. Well, I don't even think I would want to ruin that with guacamole. Just keep that thing straight up. What? Toothpick? No, so, wow, that's interesting. So the meat is actually red on these poulettes.
Mm. Oh, wow.
It's green one.
Wow.
Oh, the green one?
Yeah. Thank you. The green one. That is, That's an interesting texture. Get some of these. These poulettes. About
how many?
Five.
Okay, four.
There you go.
Five.
Thank you very much.
For the taste.
Okay.
$2.65. $4.65.
You got this one? Thank you very much. Where's your farm at?
We from Bakersfield. This avocado, San Diego, Fallbrook.
Okay. Fallbrook for the avocados?
Yes.
How big is your farm? How big is your farm? The farm where you grow all your stuff?
Acres?
How many acres?
Very big farm.
Very big?
Yeah.
So big you can't even measure it.
Thank you.
Thanks. These people drive their food all the way out here. We're in Buena Park, so that's about 300 miles? How far is it to Bakersfield?
4 hours.
4 hours? That's about 300 miles.
I'm going to get a couple of
peaches.
Peaches?
Okay. We're on a hunt for rhubarb. Katrina's mom wants rhubarb. It's amazing they can sell this stuff as cheap as they do. You know it? They sell a lot of these greens here that you just saute. They're literally vines. They look like weeds. And they just saute them or put them in a soup and eat them. Everything's rich in vitamins. Really good for you. It's like a vegetarian paradise.
Hi.
White peaches, they're just regular peaches, right?
Yellow peaches.
Yellow peaches.
White peaches.
Should we get some green beans?
Yeah, let's get some green beans.
Huh?
Get a pound of these green beans. Your stuff looks so good.
Yeah.
Looks clean. Did you clean it all? It looks fantastic.
Yes. Where is this growing?
Nepomo, San Luis Obispo.
Oh, San Luis Obispo?
That's a drive.
Yeah. Surprised you guys drive all the way out here for this.
Yeah, one day. Every Saturday.
Every Saturday?
Yeah.
How long does it take you to get down here?
3 hours.
3 hours?
Yeah, I start driving almost 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock?
Yeah. Get here at 6.
Wow.
That's
great. Okay.
And then I need to get some strawberries as well.
Strawberries?
Yeah.
So all this stuff is grown all in pretty much the same?
Yeah, we the family ranch.
Oh,
nice.
Okay.
How many acres do you own out there?
200.
200 acres? Unbelievable.
What? House, blueberry, raspberry, blackberry, the hot, grown hot house.
Yeah, blueberries, raspberries.
Okay, so these two, the green beans, do you need to weigh those? How are we doing for bell peppers, green and red and stuff?
We've got them growing on the vine at home.
Okay.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Good luck. Aren't you amazed that these people can turn a profit having to drive all the way down here with the price of gas?
Yeah.
You know?
It's amazing.
How are they turning a profit, you think?
I don't know. They have to sell it. It's probably better than selling it to a wholesaler.
Yeah, they cut out the middleman.
Yeah.
And the prices are comparable to in the store.
A little less, actually.
And you got fresh eggs, clean of all chicken shit and dirt.
Oh, tomatoes, we have plenty at home, right?
Yeah, we're good on tomatoes. We're going to be good on tomatoes for about a month. Like I said, it might be time to start thinking about some protein. We got vegetables and fruit up the ass. Literally. It's kind of a fair atmosphere with all the barbecue and bad choice of music, live entertainment.
Train rides.
Train rides for the kids. Yeah, this will get you right in. Look at these chickens on the rotisserie. They're cooking those things right over. Machicazo, look at that.
Okay, so anyway, that was interesting. Hope that didn't bore you. You should go, though. You definitely should check it out. If you're into eating vegetables and fruit and fresh eggs, honey from, you know, people who are actually making these things. And I'm sure in the United States, whatever's regional, you probably get things that, you know, I'm not getting. So Check it out, farmersmarket.com. Okay, so back on topic a bit before you know, we get to cooking. I want to talk about something, and this might piss some of you off, but I don't care. This next Food Network star, I hate the idea of this. I really do. It's, you know, stars are born. They're not groomed or chosen. And Bobby Flay's passion for cooking and his personality that, you know, people love on that network, that made him a star. Food Network didn't make him a star. It was his natural persona that made him who he was. But these people on this show, whether it's this year's show or last year's show or the year before that, they're inspired by the Food Network to be like this. They weren't born this way. So the end product is not going to be that inspiring. I'll equate it to other things like music. You know, this band Oasis that came out in the mid-90s. Everyone, they were inspired by the Beatles. Everyone thought they were the next Beatles. They weren't the next Beatles. They were Oasis, and they were inspired by the Beatles. You could hear the Beatles in their music. There were so many bands like that. It goes into anything else. There are bands out there that are inspired by U2. They're not the next U2. So why do you have to always make the next something else? It happens in sports constantly, especially in basketball. Every time there's a new kid that comes out of college, they say, oh, he's the next Michael Jordan. He's the next Magic Johnson. He's the next Wilt Chamberlain. There has never been another Wilt Chamberlain. There will never be another Magic Johnson. There will never be another Michael Jordan. There will always be a new person who will make his own statement and will be the next whatever. So I think this whole Food Network star needs to just get shut down, because the Food Network, they're on their back. Emeril turned into a star. They found him. You know, it wasn't the other way around. This show, it's miserable. And of course, just like any other train wreck, of course, I can't turn my head. I've got to watch. I have to see the carnage. You know, I want to see Rory with her huge gums and horse teeth. You know, I want to see her do inappropriate things and generally fuck things up. And I want to see Jagoff, that, you know, the Spanish guy. He's so emotional. He gets emotional over everything. He was emotional over the fact that Bobby Flay didn't like his food. Cries into a pillow. He's an emotional train wreck, seriously. And it's not a star. That's not what stars do. Then there's this Amy. There's three left. And by the time this podcast gets released, the show will be down to two. But I think she's probably going to... Amy is the one that's going to end up being the next Food Network star. And that is sad. She's the one that looks like Tina Fey, by the way. Tina Fey from Saturday Night Live. She'll walk away with it. But I don't care. I just don't care. But I can't stop watching. And that makes no sense. None of this makes sense. You know, why do it? Seriously. Does anyone remember the dynamic gay duo who won the first year that they did this? It was about 3 years ago. What the hell happened to their show? You know, that arrogant prick from last year, the guy with the flaming white hair and sunglasses who thinks the shit don't stink? His show is a steaming pile of shit. And that Food Network, they gotta get their stuff together. I mean, they're backward. But I'll tell you what does kick ass. Top Chef. It's on Bravo. Watch that. And then watch this pile of crap, and you'll see exactly what I mean. Top Chef, that's a show about chefs, and they can really cook. They cook really well, really fast. And I actually learn a lot watching that show, and it's somewhat inspiring, too. I don't have a tenth of the talent of the worst person on that show. The first person on that show gets kicked off. I don't have a tenth of their talent. And that's what I like about it. I don't want to see somebody just like me on TV, because, you know, I'm not worthy of doing something like that. I'm not even close. No one I know is close. I might know a couple people. The talent level has got to be extremely high. On the other hand, this Gordon Ramsay, you know, this guy from on Fox, he has this show called Hell's Kitchen. He is an asshole. It's his show is really hard to watch. I watched about 30 minutes of it once, and I just couldn't take it. He yells at people.
Fuck you!
That's the show. It's not even about cooking now. He just yells. He yells and yells, and he's being bleeped every 2 seconds. He's dropping F-bombs. This guy, well, he needs to be taken down. Seriously. If I were on that show and he yelled at me like that, then I'd probably be on two television shows. I'd be on that show, and then I'd be on America's Most Wanted, because I think I'd fillet that son of a bitch. No one talks to people like that. No one has a right. I don't care if you signed up for it or not. Anyway, that's enough of that. Let's just say that I hate it, but I can't stop watching it, so I guess it is a success. And if you get a chance, you know, watch Top Chef on Bravo. Give that a shot, because I think you might like it. Ramsay does have another show on the BBC America network that you may or may not get. I have DirecTV, but check it. Check your channel lineup. It's called Kitchen Nightmares. He goes to these restaurants that are failing and losing money, and he helps them fix the problem. And he does a great job. Of course, you know, it's the same thing as the other shows. It's, you know, it's not going to be Ramsay if he's not dropping F-bombs and attacking people. But, you know, in that aspect, he's pretty nasty. But it is interesting to watch. So I would suggest at least watching that once. Another thing that I've been doing lately is that I've been trying to make sausage. My plan is to make Italian sausage and then make dried and smoked sausages like pepperoni and spicy smoked sausage. And it's really interesting and it's fun. I bought a meat grinder attachment for my KitchenAid mixer, a sausage stuffer attachment, which is kind of like a bevel tube where the sausage comes out of. I bought a bag of hog casings and a few pounds of pork shoulder. And it turns out that the hardest part so far has been getting the meat to fat ratio correct. The first time I made the Italian sausage, it tasted great, but it was so lean, it dried out really quickly, and it was like eating, you know, cardboard. So I tried it a second time, and I added about a third more pork fat. And it's unreal to imagine, but it's still not enough. It's still a little dry. So, you know, I'm back to the drawing board. I'm just going to go apeshit with the fat next time and see what happens. I'll keep you posted on my progress, and as soon as I figure out what I'm doing, maybe I'll do a sausage show and I'll show you how it works and give you, you know, step-by-step guidelines and take pictures and stuff. It'd be great fun to actually make it successfully and be able to share it with my friends. It's kind of funny, too, is you go to the Italian market and you go to the deli section and they actually sell these hog casings. And what they are, it's in a little plastic Ziploc-type container and it's vacuum-sealed. These things are dried and packed in salt. And you have to take them out of the package and soak them in these baths. And they're at certain temperatures, like 90 degrees for 15 minutes, and then 100 degrees for 2 hours, and then another bath at you know, 80 degrees for 15 minutes. It's kind of weird, but what it does is it progressively brings the elasticity down. Did I say that right? It brings that down to, you know, the proper level so you can, you know, push it up on the on the sausage tube and stuff your sausages. Anyway, yeah, like I said, I'll get into that more later, but yeah, it's going to be a good time. Okay, so let's get down to cooking this dish. Here's what we're doing. It's called, Italians call it Sunday gravy. Basically, it's nothing more than a meat-flavored red sauce on pasta. Then your second course, which is meat, and you would normally have it on Sunday in Italian households, but you don't have to be Italian to like it, make it, or love it. And one thing I do want to hit on is that somewhere along the line here in America, we started eating our meat with our pasta. And Italians don't do it that way. At least, you know, the Italians in Italy and Sicily. But here, we do. And I don't know why. But you usually have your pasta as your first course. And then your meat would be a second or a third course. Usually, it's a second course. And you would have it separately. You don't have it with the pasta. Because the pasta is a big deal. You want to eat the pasta. You want to taste it. And that's another thing, is that Americans love to just sauce the absolute crap out of pasta. And that I don't understand, because the pasta is the dish, and the sauce is the accompaniment. You know, when you have a hamburger, you don't load it with ketchup, right? You just put a little bit on there to give it a little bit of flavor so you know it was there, but you don't bury it. And so I don't understand why people do that with pasta, but they do. So try, you know, just buying some decent pasta. If you can get it fresh, Contadina, I believe that's who makes this this fresh pasta. They sell it in the deli section, in the cool deli section, in the supermarket. It's a little bit more expensive than buying it dried. But it's so much better, it cooks faster, and the flavor is great. And you're not going to taste that flavor if you're burying it in sauce. Don't do it. And if you can't get the fresh, that's cool. Get the best dried you can. It's, you know, it's cheap, so spend the extra money if you know, you can find really good pasta. Even if it's dried, it's fine. This is always something that you have on Sunday. And throughout the week, you know, you do whatever. But on Sunday, you know, it was always about the family. So when I was growing up, we'd visit my aunt in Los Angeles almost every Sunday after church. For the big family meal. Well, the whole family would get together. We were kids, so, you know, we'd always be outside running around before the meal was ready. So by the time dinner was ready, you know, we were starving. So, and I'll tell you, nothing satisfies kids like pasta, some sauce, and a couple of meatballs. You spend all day running around outside playing. You come inside, you stuff your face with pasta and some meatballs. Then you go back outside and you play some more. I guarantee you, you're asleep in the car on the way home. It's almost a guarantee. Like I said, you know, you don't need to be Italian to make it. You don't need to be Italian to love it. it's a little taste of what it was. Well, it's still to this day. I mean, I still love making this dish. And one of the reasons why I love making my sauce over just buying the canned stuff or the bottled stuff is that when you cook this in your house, it takes a couple hours to make the sauce. And you have this simmering on your stovetop. It's just like spending the day making soup. Your whole house is going to smell fantastic. This sauce, my wife likes to say, she'd come in, you know, from shopping or doing whatever, and she'll come in the house and she'll go, "Oh, it smells like a Guinea whorehouse in here." And that is exactly right. It just smells Italian. The whole place will smell Italian. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. What you need, we're going to do some shopping here. I wrote it all down on the website. I made a little shopping list for you. So you don't have to write it down. Just print it out. Take the list with you. You may have some of this already at home. So just, you know, get what you need that you don't have already. And I should say that the recipe feeds 8 people. But make it all, and you can have the rest for leftovers. It's not that big a deal. In fact, you can end up making meatball sandwiches the rest of the week with all the leftovers. Plunk a couple of these meatballs in a roll, chop it with some sauce, little provolone cheese across the top, heat it up in the oven, melt it a little bit. That's your lunch. It's fantastic. Okay, so here's what we need for the sauce. You want to get 1 pound of beef short ribs. And if you can't get those, you can use pork spare ribs, but I like getting beef ribs for flavor. And that's always what my grandmother would use. And my aunts made this dish just like my grandmother did, and it was always with the short ribs. And those are going to end up being braised in the sauce for a couple of hours. So it's going to flavor the meat, cook it really well, and it's also going to flavor the sauce. You want to get 1 pound of Italian sausage, mild or hot, you can decide. I don't like them hot myself, but knock yourself out. 4 cloves of garlic, whole cloves of garlic, 5 fresh basil leaves. And let me say that I don't suggest dried herbs in this dish. I'm not against them, but I don't suggest them for this. You want fresh basil. They sell it, you know, with the vegetables. You could just go to the end aisles there and with near salads and stuff. I'm not sure every market's different, but get it in a little package. It's probably $2 or $2.50. Just get some basil. And whatever you don't use in this dish, you can end up using for pesto or you know, put it in something else. But it's definitely you need fresh, because what you're going to do is you're going to rip these up with your hands. You're going to tear them with your hands. You're not going to do a chiffonade, a French, you know, cut on this thing with your knife or anything fancy. You want them just kind of cut loosely with your hands into little bits. Okay, you want olive oil, get a small can of tomato paste, 3 28-ounce cans of whole stewed tomatoes, or you can get chopped if you want. You'll need 2 cups of water, 2 tablespoons of sugar, and 1 cup of dry red wine. Whatever you're going to have with the meal, that's fine. So, you know, whatever red wine you're having, but definitely you want it red, and you want 1 cup of it. And then you're going to be adding salt and pepper to that, so make sure you have some seasonings. For the meatballs, we're going to need 1/2 pound of ground beef. With higher fat content, say 20% is okay. You know, you want some fat in there. 1/2 pound of ground pork, 1/2 cup of breadcrumbs, 2 eggs, 1 teaspoon of chopped or crushed garlic, 1/2 cup of Parmesan cheese, 2 tablespoons of fresh chopped parsley. Again, make sure it's fresh. 1 teaspoon of salt and 1/4 teaspoon of freshly ground pepper. And like I said about the pasta, get whatever you like. It doesn't matter. With me, you know, I like the fat noodles. Spaghetti's fine. Or a bucatini, if I can find that, is my favorite. A bucatini is like a fat rope. And it's really great with sauce, because the sauce just kind of sticks to it. I highly suggest fresh pasta, again. If you can find that, that's the best. But if you can't find it, that's fine. Just get dried. Okay, we have everything. So let's get everything together. You know, get the garlic out, everything on the side. Open up your cans of tomatoes. And let's get cooking. First, let's cue the Guinea music, please. Now we're talking. Now we can cook. Polly, the wine. Come on over here. All right, let's cook. You're going to need a stock pot for the sauce. You're going to need a another pot for the pasta, okay, to boil your pasta. We'll start with the sauce. And the first thing you want to do is we want to brown the short ribs. So heat the oil in a large pot over medium heat. Pat the pork dry as much as you can. Just get the moisture off of them. And put them in the pot. Try not to crowd the pot, okay? You don't want too much in there. So if you've got 12 of these and you're you know, you've got room for 12 in the pot, maybe try putting 6 in there and doing 2 batches, because you crowd it and you're not going to cook this the way it needs to be cooked. What you want to do this time, you don't want to cook these all the way through. You just want to sear them. is you're going to sear that juice inside the rib. If you crowd the pot, you're going to end up steaming them because it's going to use up too much of the heat, and the pan's not going to get hot enough. So you want that pot to stay, the pan to stay hot. Do six, turn them over, do them on the other side, take them out, do the other six, turn those over, and then take them out, and you'll be done, and you'll have them cooked just nice. You don't want to blacken them. You just want to get them brown, all right? Just get a little bit of color on them. I'd say 5 minutes a side is fine. Just as long as they're nicely brown on all the sides, you'd be fine. Transfer those to a plate. You know, if you want to put down a little paper towel or something to drain the grease off, that's fine. Then what you want to do is bring the sausages in, okay? Now, you want to brown the sausages on all sides. You don't want to overcook them. Just brown them a little bit, get a little color on them. Take those out of there and put those in the same plate with the pork. Take the fat, drain it out of that pan or the pot. You want to throw in the whole garlic, okay? Whole garlic. Add those cloves of garlic. Cook them for about, I'd say 2 to 3 minutes, you know, until they start taking on some color. Again, don't burn them. You make sure you're not cooking on high, okay? You want to cook it on medium. And leave the garlic in there because we're going to actually take them out of the sauce before we serve it. A lot of people think that, you know, Italians like to eat the garlic. And for the most part, no, we don't, you know, because garlic makes your breath stink. And we're not into stinky breath. So we just like to know that garlic was there and, you know, have the essence of garlic without actually biting into it. So in most cases, you know, garlic is cooked with and then taken out before you serve the dish. And a lot of people, you know, at this point, at this stage, they'll take it out now just to heat to kind of maybe flavor the oil a little bit. But I like to leave it in because I actually do like, you know, essence of some garlic in there. Anyway, so you're going to stir in the tomato paste, and you're going to cook that for a couple of minutes until it starts to bubble a little bit. Now you're going to add your wine, okay? Throw your wine in, let that boil out a little bit, steam it up, and burn off some of that alcohol. Let that sit for about 30 seconds, keep stirring it so it doesn't burn, and then take those tomatoes, the cans of tomatoes, and add the whole can of tomatoes in there. The whole tomatoes that you're using, you want to smash them up with your hand as you add them to the pot, okay? So just, like, smash them with your hand so you bust them up into chunks, but not perfect chunks. If you want to cut them, you can. That's fine. And if you want to use chopped tomatoes, you can do that, too. That's fine, too. I prefer using whole tomatoes and just, you know, smushing them up with my hands and making it an imperfect dish, but it you know, I like it like that. Anyway, so just throw everything in there, the juice, the seeds, everything, whatever's in that can, throw it in. Okay, so now we want to add the water and then season it with a little bit of salt and pepper. I'd start with a teaspoon of salt and a quarter teaspoon of pepper, and then taste it, see what, you know, where you're at, maybe add a little bit more. And you can always season it more later. The key is to not add too much now, because if it's too salty, it's, you're not going to be able to take it out, and then you're basically going to have a really salty sauce, and that's no good. Now you want to add those short ribs and the pork sausages. Put those in the sauce right now, okay? And now take that basil, and you just kind of, you know, rip it up with your fingers into small pieces and add that. And then bring that sauce up to a simmer, and then turn the heat down all the way down. Not to where it's off, but just to where it's barely going, because you want this thing to simmer for about an hour and a half, but you don't want it to scald. It's going to sit for about an hour and a half to 2 hours, and you don't want to stir it, say, every 5 to 10 minutes. Open up the top of the pot and stir it. Get that, make sure it's not burning. Okay, now we'll make the meatballs while that's simmering. Take every ingredient that we've got on the list for meatballs and combine them all in a large bowl. Not the oil, though. Leave the oil out because we're actually going to cook with the oil. Put everything in a large bowl and use your hands to mix this up. I don't want you using a spoon or anything else. Use your hands because we're going to be making these meatballs with our hands. And I'll tell you, you walk into a kitchen and you know, you've got this person making food with their hands, and they're making meatballs with their hands, and they're forming this. There's a lot of love going in that pot, you know, and you know that. So make sure that you're not bashful. Clean your hands first and then get them dirty with the meat. So mix in all the ingredients. After you're done, after it's thoroughly mixed, rinse your hands off, dry them if you like, and then lightly shape the balls with a tablespoon. So take a tablespoon of meat, put it in your hands, and lightly roll. Like you're taking your hands like you're clapping, except you spin them. So the meatball is in the middle of your palms, and spin them. I'd spin them for about 5 seconds, and you will come out with a nice little ball. All the balls should pretty much be the same size, no larger than 2 inches. I like to keep mine between an inch and a half. I like them a little bit smaller. After you've done that, you want to heat the oil in your skillet, add the meatballs, and brown them on, you know, all sides. I'd say maybe 2 to 3 minutes on each side. Again, don't crowd the pot. So if you've got, you know, 30 meatballs here, you don't want to crowd the pot. So cook like maybe 10 at a time. Just make sure there's lots of room and that the temperature of that skillet doesn't go down. You don't want it too high, but you don't want to, you know, bring the temperature down by crowding it. So it's the same thing as when you were cooking those short ribs. You want to make sure that the heat stays up. So don't crowd it. Get them brown on both sides. Again, you don't want to burn them. You just want to brown them, as we're going to throw these back in the sauce too when they're done. Okay, so after the meatballs are all cooked, I'd say about an hour, 45 minutes since you turn the heat down on that on the suku, now you want to add those meatballs. Add them to the sauce and stir gently so you don't break anything up, and let it sit for at least another 30 minutes. And when the sauce is thick, and taste it, make sure the seasoning's good, you're ready. Just put the top back on it, let it sit in that pot, don't open the lid anymore, cook your pasta, and you are ready to go. We take the meatballs and the meats out of the sauce, so all we're left with is the meat sauce in the pot. We cook our pasta al dente, so it's not cooked all the way through. It's just there's a little bit of bite left in it. Drain the pasta and then throw the pasta right in the sauce. So you're going to finish it in the sauce. Put the top on it. Let it sit for about 3 minutes. Take out a piece of pasta. Taste it. Should be perfect. If it's not, let it sit a little bit longer. Out it comes. So I hope you enjoy that. Like I said, it's one of my favorite things to make and to eat, and your house will smell great. My wife and I saw Ratatouille when it opened a couple of weeks ago. It was a fantastic movie. Ratatouille, if you don't know, it's a story of a rat who loves to cook. The rat is a foodie. He loses his family and ends up in a sewer drain underneath a classic French restaurant in the middle of Paris. Every foodie, wannabe chef, cook, lover of France or lover of French food is gonna love this movie, trust me. It's just very well written. The animation's great. You know, it's Pixar. Everything they do is gold. The voice work is bang on. And, you know, as far as it concerns a movie about food and the essence of cooking, they got everything right. It's absolutely perfect the way it was done. And I found out later that Thomas Keller, Anthony Bourdain, Guy Savoy, they consulted on this film. And, you know, I think that was kind of a unique twist for me when I saw the credits. And also, I'd really like the recipe for the version of Ratatouille that he makes in the movie. And I don't want to issue too much of a spoiler alert, but I'll tell you something. It's not going to give too much away. There's a scene toward the end of the movie where somebody tastes something that brings them back to the first time they ever had it when they were a kid. They remembered what comfort that it brought them then, and that first bite just sends them back to that comfort zone. And I think that that is the essence of cooking. Just like my grandmother's sauce and meatball recipe, I could only hope that I could do something like that for somebody and just bring that back to them. Thanks for listening. We're back on schedule now, so we'll be doing this far more often. Visit your local farmer's market if you get a chance and just try some new things. Please stay in touch. Send your comments. Visit the blog if you can, zeroface.wordpress.com. And that's basically all I got. So salute, everybody. Buongiorno. My name is Phil, and this has been My Life as a Foodie. See you next time.